Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Allen Derry, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Doc Griggs, and I'm a community medicine doctor and health literacy expert. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health literacy and communications expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know about COVID-19.
You can find more information about this show and our other daily live updates and Q&A show at noisefiltershow.com.
So let's get started. Chinese researchers have discovered a new type of swine flu that can infect humans and has the potential to cause a future pandemic, according to a recent study that was released.
Wait, what? Another pandemic? This is the last thing that anybody needs to hear.
Pandemic, using my quote fingers. I know. We struggled enough from this coronavirus pandemic, but lest we be caught behind the eight ball once again, let's look at this and see if there's anything we need to worry about just yet. So the disease, which researchers are calling the G4 virus, is genetically descended from the H1N1 swine flu that caused a pandemic in 2009, if you remember. A study published in the scientific journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences said that G4 shows all the essential hallmarks of a pandemic virus candidate.
Chinese researchers based at several institutions discovered the G4 virus during a pig surveillance program. From 2011 to 2018, they collected more than 30,000 nasal swab samples from pigs in slaughterhouses and veterinary teaching hospitals across 10 Chinese provinces. From these samples, researchers identified 179 swine influenza viruses, but the vast majority did not pose a concern. Many only showed up 1 year out of the program, 7 years of research, or were missing the hallmarks of a virus that could potentially transfer to humans.
But the G4 virus kept showing up in pigs year after year and showed sharp increases in the swine population after 2016. Further tests showed that G4 can infect humans by binding to our cells and receptors, and it can replicate quickly inside our airways. Also, they found that most humans don't already have antibodies to the G4 viruses, meaning most people's immune systems don't have the necessary tools to prevent disease if they get infected by it. And though G4 holds H1N1 genes, people who have received the seasonal flu vaccines wouldn't have immunity to this new form of virus. Doc, it sounds mighty novel.
So G4 already appears to have infected humans in China. In several provinces, more than 10% of swine workers on pig farms and 4.4% of the general population tested positive in a survey from 2016 to 2018. The virus has therefore already passed from animals to humans, but there is no evidence yet that it can be passed from human to human, probably the most promising sign so far.
So what do you think, Doc? This is your wheelhouse, Dr. Infectious Disease Extraordinaire. How concerned should we be or not be? What do you think?
You know, I think that we should be concerned in the sense that we need to be vigilant and continue monitoring this virus, because adding a second outbreak would significantly complicate our response to the one we already have. But right now, we don't need to be particularly worried, as there's no evidence that the virus is readily transmissible amongst humans. And there's also no evidence that it causes serious disease in humans. The Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson confirmed that China was closely following developments and will take all necessary measures to prevent the spread and outbreak of the virus. The World Health Organization has also said it's keeping a close eye on the developments, but we need to be smart about it. We just need not panic about it.
Yeah, no panic about the pandemic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Testing demand outweighs supply. 6 months in, and COVID-19 is still an issue here in the United States. The number of cases and deaths continue to increase every day, especially in select states such as Texas, Arizona, and Florida. However, the ratio of the number of testing kits to the number of people needing to get tested are not in sync. Many testing sites are now running into a shortage of testing supplies and getting test results from labs due to the increase in need for testing. The New York Times states that in June alone, there were three times as many tests conducted compared to April. Now, recently at a testing site here in our hometown of New Orleans, it was reported that tests ran out within 5 minutes of opening. As a result, many people had to leave the site untested. Also in Phoenix, people reported they had to wait in their cars for several hours to get tested in over 100-degree heat. This displays the severity of the shortage and the demand for more supplies in the U.S. With the rise in cases, it is even more important that testing be made readily available for anybody who needs it. However, many states have reverted to only giving tests to those with symptoms in order to preserve testing supplies. And Doc, you know what that's going to do? That pre-selects, that means folks that are have high pretest probability, mm-hmm. that means the test positivity is going to be going up, and we need those test positivity rates to be below 5 or even 3%. What are your thoughts on these?
So it seems in essence we will be chasing our tail again
at
some point.
Yes, that's a very good analogy. Yeah.
So in order to combat the surge, the Department of Health and Human Services is issuing 15,000 free tests a day for 12 days to new pop-up sites in certain cities, including Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Edinburgh, Texas, and Jacksonville, Florida. The service will be free to numerous groups of people, over the age of 5, anyone with symptoms of the virus, and anyone with potential or confirmed exposure to the virus. They're hoping this aids in the shortage. However, it doesn't replace the shortage issue at the established sites around the country. Testing was an understandable challenge several months ago when the world was blindsided by this new pandemic. But sadly, the challenges still exist in the systems in place now. If you think you might have COVID-19, don't hesitate to go out and get tested. Folks, we're in an ever-evolving system of shortages of supplies in novel pandemic times. So understand, Doc and I are always out here pushing for your protection and safety, so don't let anything be an excuse from you going out to get tested. Get tested. Get tested. Hey, Doc.
Doc and I. That was good. Go and get tested. And also, testing, tracing, isolation, face masking, and hand washing are the best ways to protect yourself and your family. Doc and I.
And bad jokes. Bad, horrible jokes. Horrible.
On our way to a cashless future. In a society shifting steadily toward a cash-free future, the pandemic has accelerated the shift in ways that no other single event has before. As concern for transmission of the virus has grown, many people have avoided using cash in their transactions to mitigate the COVID-19 transmission. Many businesses across the world are encouraging customers to use non-cash payments to protect both themselves as well as employees and customers. Debit cards, Apple Pay, smartphone apps avoid the multiple physical interactions which we had with the cash and coins. Do we really need to have those anyway? Each $1 bill and $5 bill, for instance, is touched by 110 people on average per year.
And that's just gross.
Then multiply that by every bill and every coin in existence, and you see that it can be a problem. Another push toward cashless future comes from an increase of online shopping. As many are homebound or limiting their outings, customers have turned to online shopping to purchase items that they would have previously purchased in a store. For instance, in the U.S., 40 million people shopped online for groceries during the month of April. In Italy, a country where cash is still the primary source for transactions, e-commerce transactions surged more than 80%. So, Doc, is cash going to disappear now? And is now Apple Pay going to be king?
Oh, what a question. While it's unlikely we'll see a cashless economy come during this pandemic, it's definitely pushing us in that direction. In this day of COVID-19, people are becoming more aware of the ways in which people can expose themselves to greater risk of contracting the coronavirus. Now, more than ever, people are willing to seek out contactless payment forms and avoid handling cash to better protect themselves from exposure. 110 people a year, dude? Seriously? Sweden, Finland, South Korea, and others are using COVID-19 to make their final push to operate as completely cash-free societies. The U.S. might not be as close to that point as the other countries, but we're catching up quickly. Dude, do you even know how to pay cash-free, Boomer?
Boomer?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I need to respect my elders, y'all.
Oh, right. Get out of here. I still have hair.
Thanks for listening to the Noise Filter Daily Podcast. Dr. Derry and I have a daily show at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time where we go into more detail on stories and answer your questions about COVID-19.
You can find Doc Griggs at DocGriggs1 on social media, and you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at DRDERY. You can follow us at Noise Filter on Instagram, Noise Filter NOLA on Twitter, and for more information about us and the show, you can go to noisefiltershow.com. Hey, Doc Griggs, any last words?
Remember, get checked, get fit, get moving, and remember to get some rest to boost your immune system. And Doc?
Protect yourself and others by staying home, and please wear masks when you go outside. Remember, health is a human right.